God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text for this Sunday morning will be taken from the Acts of the Apostles. We're going to read from the Acts of the Apostles. We're going to read from chapter 19. We're going to go verses 23 through 34, and it's page 1028 in your pew Bibles. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 19, beginning at verse 23, reading in Jesus' name. And about that time, there arose no little disturbance concerning the way. For a man named Demetrius, a silversmith, who made silver shrines to Artemis, brought no little business to the craftsmen. These he gathered together with the workmen in similar trades, and he said, "Men, you know that this business we have is our wealth. And you see and you hear, not only in Ephesus, but also almost in all of Asia, that Paul has persuaded and turned away a great many people, saying, the gods made with hands are not gods. And there is a danger, not only that this trade of ours may become destitute, but also that the temple of the great goddess Artemis may be counted as nothing, and that she may be disposed in her magnificence. She whom all Asia and the world worship." And when they heard this, they were enraged and they were crying out, "Great is Artemis of Ephesians!" So the city was filled with confusion, and they rushed together into the theater, dragging with them Gaius and Articus and Macedonius, who were Paul's companions in travel. But when Paul wished to go among the crowd, the disciples would not let him. Even some of the Areopagites, who were his friends, sent to him and were urging him not to venture into the theater. Now some cried out one thing and some another, for the assembly was in confusion, and most did not even know why they had come together. Some of the crowd prompted Alexander, whom the Jews had put forward, and Alexander motioned with his hand and wanted to make defense to the crowd. But when they recognized that he was a Jew, for about 2 hours they cried out in one voice, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians." Amen. Let's unite our hearts in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, this is your word, and we ask by the power of the Holy Spirit you'd shut my mouth, and that you would allow your spirit to speak, that we could find truth, that we could encourage, that we could bring peace, but also assurance. We ask that you would sanctify us in this truth. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Seems over the last, maybe month or so, I've received a few texts. I've been questioned, even to my face, which is fine. I'm not at all thinking it's a bad thing. People have discussed with me, or at least talked to me, I even received an email about how I've ignored what's going on in our nation. I've ignored the fact of all the riots that are taking place. And why have I not addressed this? In one occasion, I was asked if I'm afraid of it. Yeah, I am. I'm afraid that my flesh would get in the way. I'm afraid that I would be very angry speaking about what's going on. And so, even as Proverbs says, a fool gives vent to his spirit, but a wise man quietly holds it back. You all know me. I have a tendency to speak my mind. I have a tendency, as people say, "We love how honest you are." No, you don't. You don't want to know how honest I am. You don't want to know, honestly, what I'm really thinking. And that's the difficulty of this, because you have to still contain it. There is a place to speak your mind. There is a place to tell people, you know, when you see something going kittywampus, but there is definitely a place to hold your tongue. And when we come here to be encouraged by the gospel. We come here to be encouraged that God loves each and every one of us, no matter what we may be going through. But yet, I can't remain silent on what I see going on either. And when it starts to affect my congregate members, when they start to ask me why pastor is not addressing these things, I'll be honest with you, I don't know what to say. I think it's stupid. I think a lot of the difficulty that's going on, a lot of people do not understand and even know why they are doing what they're doing. And I believe that there are people in this nation that are using innocent, good people as pawns. Do I think that the causes that they might be standing up for are good? Absolutely. I do. Mark even touched on this. If we were to be 100% honest, if we were actually sit down and actually just be us in maybe a wall that we could confess our life to, we all have prejudice. I remember one time I saw some individual and he was in a parking lot of a restaurant. It was teenagers we used to hang out at, and he kind of had, you know, dark hair and he looked kind of cool. He had little slinty eyes and he had a Camaro, actually a Firebird, and he was getting in that car and I looked over and I thought, what a jerk that guy is. He was my cousin. I didn't even know him. So what a jerk that guy is. He thinks he's so cool. We all have those instincts where we judge people without even knowing them. Then I started dating my wife. Go to the house of one of her brothers, and they got like, you know, 10 kids. So, I mean, they're in the fireplace mantle is all these kids, and that first one was him. And I looked at him, and I said, you know that kid? She goes, my nephew. She's a jerk. She goes, you know him? Never met him. This is being honest. I judged him without knowing him, without even having one word of conversation with him. To this day, I will say he is one of my best friends in the world. I would give a kidney for him. Him and I were business partners together up here in the UP. We built homes together. We lost money together, and we never argued, not once. He's a wonderful man. And I judged him all wrong. So we need to be honest. We all struggle. But oftentimes in our nation, it seems like we're looking to be offended rather than informed. And we need to be informed. We have a tendency to turn on the TV and allow it to dictate to us exactly what is taking place and why it is taking place. If you click on your phone and you search on Google, you don't have to turn it on. They're giving you all these updates. I mean, for crying out loud, right now, some of our leaders better just pack up their bags and go home, because there's not a chance in the world. We suck it up like a sponge because we lack the ability to have critical thinking in our nation anymore. And it's not unheard of. It's been going on from the dawn of time. Here in Ephesus, we are given a great understanding. Paul and his disciples entered into Asia, and they were preaching the word of God in such a powerful way. Such a powerful way. When he enters into Ephesus, the people were just thronging to hear him. And there were so many false religions. There were so many false ideas. And people were seeking to protect that little commune that they had built, that brought them wealth, that brought them security, that brought them exactly what they feel they need. They were basically taking from those under them to continue to provide for themselves. And when Paul preaches the powerful word, and when he turns around and he ends up encountering people that have been baptized with the baptism of John only unto repentance, he now lays hands on them in the name of Jesus Christ, and they are joined together with Christ. And it's such a powerful time. You could read all of this in Acts 19, 1 through 22. He's having an impact, and he's threatening, in reality, their security to the point where now all these that are caught up in witchcraft and caught up in all these things that people are following, they actually burn all their books. These books had a value of 50,000 pieces of silver. So it's not a light matter. So they start to panic. They start to panic, and that's where this picks up. Paul is basically coming in by the power of the Holy Spirit as a great fire cleaning house. And about that time, there arose a disturbance here as the word grew. And the disturbance was over the way. In other words, over the preaching of Jesus Christ and him crucified. Nothing else. Nothing else. And there's this man. His name is Demetrius. He was a silversmith. And so he had this great job that actually brought him probably a pretty good living. And he would make trinkets and he'd make little shrine things and he'd make all kinds of stuff basically for Artemis. She is the goddess, a lot of people say, of childbirth. She also is considered a goddess of something of like hunting. She is considered to be Zeus's daughter in Greek mythology. We can find all of this stuff out if we would critically think. And he's upset. Because his very lucrative position is about to be threatened. And is threatened by the truth. I know we don't have those kinds of problems in our nation anymore. We have risen above that, haven't we? Sarcasm. And so now when his business is threatened, what does he do? He gathers his troops. He goes off to his cronies. He goes off to his buddies. And he turns around and he starts telling, you know what? There's a problem going on here. We derive to our living. Everything that we stand for is founded in all of this. And if this doesn't continue, you and I are going to be out looking for a job. That's what's going to happen. And we're not going to have all these people under us providing for us. We're not going to have all these people under us making sure that we have it. We tell them all the time, we're doing this for you. But the truth of it is, they were doing it for themselves. So he gathers everybody together, even the workmen. And this means those that didn't have the trade of silversmith, but those that would do the other stonework or anything else, and the common people. He said they had similar trades. He said, men, you know that from this business, we gain our wealth. From being loyal to this party that we hold together here, we in reality gain everything from. We have to defend it. No matter what. He says, you see and you hear. Not only here in Ephesus. This has grown much better, bigger than Ephesus. I mean, in other words, it's going to take over everything if we're not careful. Not only in Ephesus, but in all of Asia, this Paul. In their mind, this lunatic. This Paul has persuaded and turned away a great many people. And he's telling them, the gods that we create is not going to save them. The things that we produce, the things that we do, is not going to save them. Oftentimes we forget that. And we think what man does, what man accomplishes, is going to save us as a human being. Eternal salvation. It's not. We can't allow people to see through this because we will lose our position. And so he turns and he says, you know what? He's telling everybody, he's encouraging other people to look beyond us. And there is a danger. Come on, guys, there's a danger here. Not only now that our positions will be threatened, but this is the best way to get people on your side. Your position will be threatened. You need to understand this. Not only is he threatening my position now, he's threatening your position. And what little you have, you may not be able to hold on to. Huh. But they didn't critically think. Why were these people following Paul? Why were these people clamoring? Why were these people willing to take what they entrusted and burn it these books of witchcraft, if I could call it. Why were they willing to take such a sacrifice of 50,000 pieces of silver back in the days of Christ? Because their gods let them down. And the truth came to them. And they heard. They heard. And they were willing, in reality, to receive the message that was being given. They weren't just listening to the rhetoric around them, these individuals that actually came to the truth. They had ability to think through a process and not let somebody else think for them. When the gospel was presented to them, they listened. They didn't look over here and see what Pastor Jesse has to say about it. Don't look to me. Look to the Word of God. Look to what Christ offers. Look to what the apostles had given to us. Look to the traditions that we have had that continue to carry us. God will get us through these times. There's no doubt about it. And we may come out on the other side in a different era. Never lose sight of Christ. He says there's a danger, not only that our trade may be come to destitution, but also the temple of the great goddess of Artemis may be counted actually as nothing. Then what? Can you imagine if we actually thought some of our buildings were nothing? I think it was Ronald Reagan that said, if the government shut down for 6 weeks, most Americans wouldn't even notice. Then they heard. He says, she might lose her magnificence and all of Asia that would worship her. And the whole world in reality worships her is what they were saying. In other words, we have this right way. In other words, their trade, their position, everything is threatened. They were getting the people on board. And when they heard this, they started to cry out in a loud voice, great is Artemis of the Ephesians. Great is Artemis of the Ephesians. That's what they do. They get you fired up. They rally the troops. They get you to move forward into a cause that, you know, sounds great. There's no doubt about it. But do we understand it? And do we understand the motivation behind it? They're enraged. This isn't in control. This is enraged. And so now, what does it say? The city enters into all confusion. And they actually rush into this theater, trying to see the theaters of where they would take and they would have their debates. This is where they would take and judge people in the cities and different things like that. These theaters were not small. This theater here in Ephesus would hold about 25,000 people. So this is a great crowd that comes together to basically argue and debate over this, but they're also going to try people. They're going to run forward with an understanding. Because don't think this is like, hey, they were invited. What I'm getting to here is mob mentality. When we turn around and we lose sight of the vision of what the cause is and we get people so riled up and so worked up that they don't even understand what's going on anymore and they go through and they destroy everything. They come and they go to this theater location, but now what does it say about those companions that were with Paul? It says they dragged them. This was not orderly. They dragged them. They were dragging with them Gaius and Articus and Macedonus, and these were Paul's traveling companions. So now the crowd takes over, and it's no longer just an order of position by those that are in leadership. It is now actually the whole crowd coming together and starting to make chaos. And this is the interesting thing. When mob mentalities take place, and the very people that we say we're trying to defend, we end up hurting. We have a tendency to take out the innocent, oftentimes. You think I'm crazy? Jesus is the greatest example of that. 3 days prior to his death, they were worshiping him. They were proclaiming him as Hosanna, Savior. As he came into Jerusalem, the people were laying garments down at his feet. And by the time of his death, they were saying to Pontius Pilate, "Give us Barabbas. Give us Barabbas! We want the murderer. We want the crooked. Kill the innocent." I'm not saying there's not causes. I'm not saying there's not injustices in this world that we need to stand against. There is. But God has made us intelligent. God has given us the power of his Holy Spirit. God is not distant from us. We prayerfully, thoughtfully enter into these areas and bring truth. Pastor, you're old school. Don't you realize we're cleaning up this nation? And we're turning around and we're destroying all of these statues and all of these things that remind us of our past. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I pray we never forget our past. I pray that we have learned from our past. I pray that we move forward and we see these remembrances and we say, may we never venture down them roads again. C.S. Lewis talks very strongly. He says, we should not hold it to a great thing that we no longer crush witches, because we have learned witches do not exist. It would be more great if we didn't crush witches and we still thought witches exist. In other words, education brings us so much more. But see, we can't just turn on CNN. We can't just turn on Fox. We can't just turn on this stuff and sit there for 24 hours a day or 12 hours a day and just allow it to repeat and repeat and repeat and repeat in our heads. We need to have critical thinking. And in reality, we need to pray to God the Father of how can I change my environment? How can I change my environment? I pray that we never forget our past. I've done a lot of stupid things in my life, and I'm going to do some more. There's no way around that. And I've made a lot of stupid statements in Christianity thinking that I figured it all out. And God has shown me so much more. And if I ever forget everything that I have blown, and I'm not saying live in it, and I'm not saying, you know, falsely live under the persecution of it, but don't forget where God has called you from, so that when you encounter someone else, you can see the hope for them. That's the hardest thing in the church sometimes, legalism, let's say. I meet someone that basically wants to judge me because the way I dress, the way I talk. They want to judge me according to what church maybe I go to. They want to judge me according to all kinds of other things. And I get so ticked because I'm like, what's wrong with you? And God has to remind me, Jesse, don't tear that statue down in your life. That was you not too many years ago. Grow from it. Grow from it. There was a teacher at the seminary. I thought he was kind of a nut job. Love the man now. He's kind of interesting. He's unique. But I remember being so irritated at my professor, I told him, I said, why do I got to take this class? Why do I got to take this? The guy don't even make sense to me. My professor looked at me and he says, I'm going to give you 1 week in there. And if you can tell me in 1 week that you did not learn one thing from that man, you're excused. Challenge accepted. I went in that class and I started listening a little more because I wanted to find if he actually had anything to say. End of the week, my professor did not forget, because he doesn't usually forget anything. And he came up to me and said, "So, have you learned anything?" I said, "Yeah. I learned that there's a lot of people out there that put a lot of emphasis upon what they can do, or, in other words, trying to control the Holy Spirit or something." And he says, "Then you've learned something." And he was right. And I remember someone in my life made a harsh decision to do something, and they expected that faith healing would take over and fix them, and faith healing did not take over and fix them. And I was telling this professor that I didn't so much care for about it later in my life, just a few years ago. And I said, "Well, so-and-so did this, and God didn't heal him, and now he's mad at God." He saw, this professor told me, he said, "He wasn't wrong. That person wasn't wrong for asking God to heal him and living in that faith. The only way he was wrong is when he didn't accept God's answer." That man is smarter than I thought. We learn from our mistakes. We learn from our past. It's a shame if we don't. But if we try to turn around and delete it, oh, I've had many people tell me, even in the pulpit, "You should not talk about yourself on such a lower level. You shouldn't do this. People should look up to pastors. Don't ever look up to me. I do not live up to what I preach, as much as I'd like to, because I rely on the same grace you have. May I always preach above myself to Christ Jesus. May I always preach above myself." And may we also, as we go through these trying times, look beyond our position and look beyond those that we look to as leaders and look to Christ Jesus. But may we also have that same love that Christ has shown to us for others. They turn around and they're getting people fired up. They're getting people enraged because now no longer is critical thinking on the table. It is a threat of position, and it is actually this furnace or this fury that burns within people. You think I'm crazy? I'm not. I don't like sports at all. I'm not saying I'm against them. I have no drawing to it. You get me to a Super Bowl game, and you get everybody in the room, and they're getting charged up because someone dropped a ball or whatever they do, and I'm right there with them. Boy, I'm a pro. I know all about this. Come on, what's wrong with you guys? That's how we get in a mob mentality. We will shoot off at the mouth about things that we don't even understand, that we don't even know, because everybody else is. And it was done in the scripture, it was done in the garden, and it'll be continue to be done. But we have the ability, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to step back and ask God. We have the power, guess what? The power and the ability of the Holy Spirit to shut that TV off. Shut it off. My wife took it away from me. She said, "We know, hon, we've grown past the days of, well, all TV is a sin." She said, "But for you, it's wrong. Cut it off. Dish gone." That was back when Glenn Beck and President Obama were in the office, and I was yelling at the TV every night. We get caught up. We get caught up. He turns around and he says, now this was going on, and they started crying this out. But what does it say in verse 29? And we're going to move on from here, but it says, the whole city was filled with confusion. He says they rushed in together in the theater, and they started dragging these companions of Paul in there. They were looking to persecute him. Paul, he has a love and a desire to protect those that are his, so he wanted to go out into the theater scene. But actually these Ephesians, or whatever they're called, these are more or less well-to-do guys that actually became friends with Paul. They have a great position. They might have some wealth to them. They were his friends, and they sent a message to him saying, "Paul, don't go in there." Why? It's not that God couldn't protect him. But don't go in there because these people are not thinking rational. They're not thinking rational. So they urged him not to go in there. And then what happens is they start crying out all these things. And the funniest part is just like at the crucifixion of Jesus, they were trying to bring charge to Jesus. The crowd was worked up because it even says the elders and the priests, they got the people worked up asking for Barabbas. It's a mob mentality. And when they start bringing charge to Pilate, The charges didn't even add up. Nobody could come up with the same story because they didn't even know why they were there. Some cried out one thing, some cried out another, and the assembly was confused. And it says very plainly in the scripture, most of them didn't even know why they came together. A majority of the people in that theater didn't even know why they were there. We have to be cautious of this. We have to read. Study. Spend a little time. And actually look into the facts of what's going on. And I would dare say this, look all the way. Look into who's funding this stuff. Look into all of it. But don't fear it. Pray. May God have mercy and grace upon each and every one of us. And those that are even led astray, those that feel they're doing the right thing. There's many people that crucified Jesus believed fully they were doing the right thing. Lord, open their eyes. Open their eyes. Father, I need changing. Open my eyes. Allow us once again not to be offended, but educated. Now the Jews are kind of nervous about this, taking over the whole city, and Paul is considered obviously an Israelite because he was a Pharisee of Pharisees at one point in his life, and the Jews want to distance themselves from Paul, and this is really what this last part's more or less about. And boy, we kind of see that even in some of our stuff going on, don't we? We have those that were the old school that are trying to distance themselves. They're turning around saying, well, we're not really with him. And this is what they're doing. You might think I'm smoking something, but it's the truth. It says, some of the crowd now prompted Alexander, who, by the Jews, was put forward. He wants to explain. Most likely, he's going to explain on a little hypothesis here, but he's going to explain that this Paul has lost it. He's not with us anymore. So now they're not even there. And so he goes forward to explain, motioning with his hand that he just wanted to make a defense. He wanted to talk. But this is how enraged the crowd is. They won't even listen. And so then he turns around, but when they recognized that he was a Jew, in other words, they could understand, and I think it's kind of interesting because they looked at him and understood what his background was. It says, for 2 hours they cried out in a loud voice. They wouldn't even hear him. They drowned him out. Artemis. Great is Artemis of Ephesians. Brothers and sisters in Christ, that's exactly what happens with a mob mentality. We will not listen. We cannot hear because we're too busy screaming. Am I saying there's no injustices? You heard me say, no, there is. There is. But brothers and sisters in Christ, God sees it too. And as Christians, we seek from him. When I say shut off your TV, I'm saying don't overindulge in all the stuff that's going on. I'm not trying to say at all, ignore it. And I wasn't trying to ignore this subject. But really, this is not a good subject. And it's gone on from the beginning of time, and it will continue to go on. But this I will say. As children of God, as believers in Christ, we are above this. We are to love, and love unconditionally. And I have a hard time right now, in my flesh, loving some of the stuff that's going on. But may we never lose love for the people that are blinded. For Jesus' name's sake. Amen. Let's unite our hearts in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, We praise and we thank you for the gift of life that is found solely through Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Father, that there was willing servants to enter into these cities that were Gentile cities, no doubt about it, full of idolatry, full in reality of mythology. But yet, Father, they still had a yearning to know the truth. And Father, when the truth is being revealed, when the truth is being exposed, the enemy will definitely fight against it. Father, we ask also that you would continue to work in our lives, that we could, as true leaders and as true examples, not bring destruction and chaos to this world, but bring truth to straighten out injustices, to honor those that have fought for the injustices for years and years. And Father, just open our eyes. We thank you for all things, and we thank you for this nation which is still yet free. And we pray that we would use these freedoms to honor other people. Now, Lord, bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift his countenance upon us and give us everlasting peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. This will not become a habit. I apologize if the subject was blunt.